This chazar is echnesh b'ach chesra shag b'mem yehudim sechtes kitten daf mem gimel. Frag the Gemara, if a person sells his slave only for the right to collect the penalty if he's killed by an ox, is this a valid sale? Because the penalty is something not yet in existence. Or is this not a valid sale? This is a question according to a mayor who usually says that you can be makin davar shalei b'adar adam. Because maybe Rav Meir only says so regarding fruit that will grow, because it's normal that it'll grow. However, regarding the penalty for killing an ox, of an ox killing a slave, since it's not usual, and even if it does happen, there's no guarantee that the owner of the ox will end up paying, because maybe if he admits his guilt, he'll be potter from having to pay the penalty. So maybe even Rav Meir would agree that this right can't be sold. There's also a question going to Rabbanan, who normally say that ain't no makadavos shalei b'leyolam. Because maybe they only say that regarding fruit of a tree which is actually not in existence. However, in the case of the slave's penalty, the slave is in existence, the ox is in existence, and therefore maybe they would agree that the sale could be affected. So what's the halacha? The Marsha, the Brisa discusses the kohen slave's right to eat truma and discusses the case of a slave who has absolutely no value. Now, if a slave can be sold for the penalty, every slave has some value because he can be sold for the penalty. And if so, how can it be said that a slave has absolutely no value? It must be that he cannot be sold for the penalty. The Marsha says, no, not a proof. Maybe the Brisa is discussing a slave that is a trefa, in which case there would be no penalty collected if he were killed. In fact, even such a slave has some value because he can serve his master in some capacity. The Marsha said the Brisa is discussing a slave full of boils, shchin, who is someone that the master does not even want to see. Therefore, he has absolutely no capacity in order to serve his master. Another question. If a half-freed slave gives kedushin to a Jewish woman, does the kedushin take effect? Even if we say that when a full yid is mekadosh half of a woman, it would take effect. That may be based on the fact that he has the ability to be mekadosh the whole woman. But a slave who doesn't have that ability, maybe he can't do so. Also, even if we say that when a full yid is mekadosh half of a woman, it would not take effect. It may be based on the fact that he has limited the extent of his acquisition. But regarding a slave, he has done all he can do, so maybe it would be effective. Brisa says, if a half-freed slave was killed by an ox, the master gets half the penalty, and the slaves Yorshim get the other half. Get half of the koifer payment. Now, if a half-freed slave can't marry a Jew, how is it possible that he has Yorshim? It must be that he could marry a Jewish woman. Rav Adar Bar Hava said it's not a proof, because the Brisa may be talking about where the ox made the slave into a trefa without actually killing him, in which case he must still make the payment. And when the Brisa says the payment goes to the Yorshim, it means that it goes to the slave himself. Rav said, I have two questions over here. First of all, the Brisa uses the terms Yorshim, not himself. And number two, Rish Lakish said the koifer only gets paid after death. Rav therefore said the Brisa means that his Yorshim deserve to get half the kaifer, but since there are no yarshim, the half kaifer is actually not paid. Zakhtamar Vaita Rava said, just as a half-freed slave can't give an effective kedushin to a Jewish woman, similarly, a half-freed maidservant can't accept an effective kedushin from a Jewish man. Rabbi Arvuna said, just as a Jewish woman cannot accept kedushin for half of herself, so too a half-freed maidservant cannot accept kedushin from a Jewish man. Rav Chista asked, in the case of the Jewish woman, he is giving less than the full kinyan that he can give, and maybe that's why it's not effective. However, in the case of the half-freed woman, she's accepting the fullest possible kinyan, and therefore maybe it should be effective. Upon hearing this, Rabbi Arvuna changed his view and said the kedushin of a half-freed woman will be effective because of the difference just explained by Rav Chista. Rav Sheshi said, just as a Jewish man cannot give a kedushin to half a Jewish woman, so too a Jewish man cannot give kedushin to a half-freed maidservant. And if you say the case of Shivcha Charufa is a case where a half-freed maidservant has accepted kedushin from a Jewish slave, and we therefore see that kedushin is effective, I'll tell you, as Rabbi Shmuel says, that the pasuk is referring to a case where the kedushin was not given, but she was simply designated to be with that slave. Rav Chista said, if a half-freed maidservant accepted kedushin from Reuven, and she was then fully freed and accepted kedushin from his brother Shimon, and they both then died, she may be taken in yibum by their brother Levi, because she's not considered to be the wife of both of these brothers, in which case yibum wouldn't apply. The reason is, if the kedushin to Reuven was affected, then the kedushin to Shimon was not, and vice versa. If a half-freed maidservant accepts kedushin from Reuven, and she's then freed, and then accepts kedushin from an unrelated Shimon, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, the name of Rav Nachman, says the first kedushin is removed upon her becoming free, and she is therefore married to Shimon. Rav Zeir, in the name of Rav Nachman, says upon her freedom, the kedushin with Reuven becomes complete, and she therefore remains Reuven's wife. Rav Zeir says the pasuk suggests like I say, because the pasuk says that the person who was mezana with the shivcha charufa is not put to death, ki loichu pasha, because she was not freed. This suggests if she was freed, she would be put to death, because then it would be a full Eishes Ish. Abai said it's not a proof, because according to the yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, they said the pasuk was referring to a fully enslaved maidservant. According to them, the pasuk would have to mean that if she was freed and then accepted kedushin, and then a man was mezana with her, he would be put to death. We can therefore understand the pasuk to mean that even if it refers to a half-freed maidservant, still the only time he would be put to death would be if she accepted kedushin after she was first freed. Rav Huna Bar Katina, named Rav Yitzchak, said it once happened that there was a half-freed maidservant, and the rabbanon forced the master to fully free her, just like the Mishnah says must be done for a male maidservant. Maybe should we say, effectively more, that this follows follows the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, who says that women are obligated to have children. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak said, no, it may be that there is no obligation to fully free such a woman. In that case, they forced him to free her because people were being mezana with her. They thought it would be better for her to be free so she can get married and have a husband who would protect her from such behavior. Zok the Mishnah, if a person sells his slave to a goy or to chutz laretz, the slave goes out free. A Braisa says, if someone sells his slave to a goy, the slave goes out free and needs to get shichur from the first master. Shimon Gamliel says this is only true if he has not written the oinoi of the slave. But if he did, that acts as the get shichur. What is an oinoi? So Rav Sheisha said, it's a document in which he writes to the slave, when you run away from the goy, I have nothing with you, I no longer own you. A Braisa says, if a yid borrows from a goy and uses his slave as collateral, if the collateral was done according to his custom, the slave goes out free. What does that mean according to his custom? Rav Huna bar Yehuda said, it means that he places a necklace with a seal on the slave, showing that he belongs now, he's now collateral, and as such belongs to the guy. Once that's done, the slave is freed from the yid. Rav Sheisha says, the Braisa discusses a field that is used as collateral and also discusses the collateral was done according to his custom. Now, this can't refer to a necklace because it clearly doesn't apply to a field. Rav Sheisha therefore said, according to his custom means that a payment date was written in the document.